welcome to episode 6, COVID soup of the Faculty Lounge. I know that's backwards, but you guys know what I mean. Hi, how are you? This is the third time I'm trying to record this episode, so we're gonna get through it this time for real. I'm actually very happy that the first time I tried to record this, it did not work because so much new information has come to pass over this time. So let me just check my audio here. Hang tight one second. Okay, we should be all good. If I sound quieter today than normal, I'm not sure what that is about, but hopefully we can figure it out. I'm trying to talk real close to the mic here. It's like you really do need to do that with podcasts, though, which is something that I don't think they really prepare you for. You need to get real up close and personal with that mic. So, like I mentioned, I'm glad that the first recording got lost, or actually didn't even get lost, it just didn't even record, because my school has, since I talked to you guys last, we had a COVID scare in my room that was handled completely backwards that we still have no answers on, and people have been back in that room, staff have been rotating in and out of that room without any real answers, so that's been happening. And additionally, about maybe like 5 days ago, my school unexpectedly let go 14 people out of nowhere. And so it's a really scary time for teachers right now. I mean, everyone, I know this is a scary time for all of us, and I'm not trying to say that no one else is also dealing with job troubles too. And you know, of course, that's not what I'm saying, but I am a teacher, so that's what I'm talking about here. I mean, it's called the fucking Faculty Lounge. So I understand it's a hard time for everyone, but I'm just going to specifically talk about why it's a hard time for teachers right now, I guess. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Because my school has never done cutbacks like this, actually. I don't even think we've done budget, you know, we've had budget cuts and certain things, but we've never lost staff or personnel over it. And the way it happened was just so unceremonious and just like, it was done really poorly in the middle of the week. It happened on a Wednesday, and it happened on the last day of the month, which is significant because if you are let go from this job and you're let go like mid-month, let's say, you still retain your health insurance for the rest of that month. So not only did they fire 14 people, they fired them on the last of the month with no warning. So now they suddenly don't have health insurance. And one of the women has been working there for like probably like 20 years. These were all professionals, by the way, that were like let go. And this one woman, like I said, she's been working there for 20 years and her husband relies on her health insurance. And it was just so sad to have this happen so abruptly. So my team and I were very upset and concerned over the COVID scare, as we should be. And that was the first thing we were trying to bring up and talk about at our meeting in the morning. And then it kind of got brushed over and we were like, okay, that's weird. And then a whole bunch of people got fired. Girl, what? Okay. So let me tell you guys first about the COVID scare that happened and how it was not handled. So one of my staff members lives with someone who tested positive on a Thursday. Oh, good. This is still going. So they tested positive on a Thursday. On Friday morning, my staff member called the school and was trying to let them know that this happened, and no one answered the school's phone, which is happening too much, I guess, because of COVID and working from home. People are coming in at different times. I don't know. They don't have call forwarding set up. So, you know, every day, just like most jobs, you have to do a COVID questionnaire and answer questions. And one of these questions is, have you been in contact with someone who had COVID? So since no one answered the phone, when my staff member called, he came to the school and explained what happened. And they turned him away, but they told him he had to take his own sick day and like that he couldn't go work from home. They weren't going to do like a no pay day. They encouraged him to call, like to take his own sick day, which I don't even think you're supposed to do that. So it was really not professional the way this was handled, because not only was the staff member turned away, no one on my team was notified. So like I say, a bunch of my kids don't wear masks in school because they can't for various reasons, or they won't for various reasons. So my staff members and I all wear masks, but the kids don't. And we had a staff member who was a potential COVID risk, you know, who lives with someone who tested positive, and we were not told about this throughout the day. Mind you, we have an auxiliary room that we're able to use, so it's like a secondary classroom since we are operating at 50% capacity right now. So that is a room that you can use to split up the class if you need to, or if the children are getting some kind of service, they can get it in that room. Now, if we knew that this was a health risk, we could have used that auxiliary room, we could have had our room deep cleaned, but there was just no communication. And, like, I'm getting stressed out already thinking about it. And this was, like, first of all, it's been almost 2 weeks, just so you guys know. The kids have absolutely continued to come to school. There's been no quarantining. Nothing that's happened. I called out sick my last shifts that I was supposed to be in. I called out because I did not feel safe being there. So I took my own sick time because I just thought it was completely unethical. And, you know, I wear heavy-duty masks to school, but not everybody has a heavy-duty mask. And I'm sure that I am very safe, and I'm confident that if doctors and nurses can operate and not get this virus, I cannot get this virus if I'm doing all the right things, you know. And I am an elementary school teacher, so by nature I am pretty good at not getting sick. It's something that my health has been violated so many times that I've gotten really careful with, you know, protecting my own personal health. So for me, it was a matter of principle for not wanting to go into the school because no one was finding out what was happening with this staff person. So the staff person was told to take their own sick day, and they said, I'm going to go test it. I'll let you guys know the results of the test. And I don't know how, but our quarantine time would be up. Today's the 5th. It would be up on the 9th. Like, the 8th would be the last day. So it's been 11 days, I guess, since we last saw this staff member in person, and we still have no information about, you know, was the test completed, you know, what were the results, anything like that. The only thing we heard was that he said he went in, and I think he did a rapid test, but then they also did a long-term one, something. The message I got was a little cryptic, and I wasn't sure. And when I asked again, I said, you know, have you heard back? He said, oh, it takes 7 to 10 business days to get these COVID results. So I know there's a faster test than that because there's the rapid test, which could take 20 minutes to do. But the school wasn't really giving the staff person direction. We certainly didn't get any direction. So on my team, myself and another person refused to go into work, basically, because we didn't know the information. We felt that it wasn't safe. And we didn't go in for our shifts last week. And, you know, I'm sure we will be both showing up this week. But the rest of my team did go in. So basically this person on Thursday, he's been working in our school every shift since we opened in September. So he's been working in our school, exposing us, exposing the kids, like we all do to each other. It's like not his fault that he happens to live with someone who, you know, caught this virus. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be embarrassed of, and nothing like that. I'm not putting any blame on this person for getting sick, obviously. But from a perspective of putting the kids' safety first and the kids not having masks on and everything, it is super concerning because we work with medically fragile, special needs kids, and this is stuff that we need to be aware of. So the staff person who lives with someone who's tested positive has been working with us since September when we opened. And on the day that he was sent home sick, we just thought he was out sick. We had no idea why he was gone until we got a message from him to our group chat saying, hey, how are you guys? And we said, good, how are you? And this was all on Google. And I did post this on my Instagram page, by the way. If you want to see it, you can DM me and I will send it to you. I blocked out the, you know, any like qualifying information. But I did post it in case you want to read it yourself. But he did say that he was told by the school to see how he felt over the weekend and then come back to work the following week. And we were just told nothing. So obviously this goes against everything from the CDC to our county's health offices. It even goes against our own protocol as a school. So the situation was just not handled well at all. And we still have no idea what's going on with that staff person, which is really unfortunate. Today, I got a text message from one of my managers this morning, one of the assistant principals, asking, hey, have you heard from this person? And I said, no, I haven't. And she said, okay, we'll reach out to him. And the workday's over, and we still have not heard anything. So what's crazy is that The staff person worked with us all this time. We were all, the kids, you know, and everyone that worked in that room were potentially exposed. None of us were told to quarantine or work from home for now or anything. And most of that team, my team total is like 17 people, including therapists and everybody that works in that school in my room. So there's a lot of people that could have had potential contact in my classroom with this person. So we were going on a long weekend because we were closed for Yom Kippur. So we were not only not told about it, we were all sent on a long weekend and none of the staff members had any idea that this was something that they could have had, you know, a potential risk to. The school gives out paper masks, which are fine, but they're not like super heavy duty. And if the staff member is working with the kid would really be more of a risk of getting it and more of a risk of passing it because the students are not wearing masks. So obviously, I don't have to explain that to you guys, but it was just really upsetting to see a school that works with special needs kids to handle a situation so backwards. And we actually, my staff and I, like, kind of got, like, in trouble for being upset about this. I mean, we weren't, we didn't get written up or anything, but we were kind of, like, reprimanded in a way from the assistant principal that approached us. She was just telling us, like, not to worry and that you can get COVID in the grocery store and asking if he had any fucking symptoms. And I'm like, I was about to lose my mind because this is something that, and I said to the woman on the phone, I'm like, you know as well as I do that symptoms don't mean anything because you could be asymptomatic and none of us are doctors. So that's something that's really upsetting is that my administration, who are fucking school administrators and some of them have been teachers, some of them haven't, are suddenly trying to be like, oh, well, on Thursday, did he seem sick to you? It's like, what kind of fucking question is that? Idiot. Like, it's so fucking infuriating that would even be a question because symptoms are meaningless. So it doesn't really matter if the person had symptoms or not. Obviously, if you have every COVID symptom, you shouldn't come to work. But obviously, someone should be in the school office to answer the phone so that we know these things ahead of time before someone shows up at the building. And yeah, it was just awful. And like I said, still no clarity on that. So the following week, my staff member and we felt the most strongly about this. We did not go to work because we are not about to risk our personal health or the kids' health in name of, you know, education when it's not even really education at this point. So since my staff member, this is where it gets juicy and the stupidity just grows and grows and grows. So my staff member and I, who were feeling like that this was a bad idea, we did not go into work. And our classroom only has two kids that are actually coming into school because most parents are keeping their kids home, understandably so. And we are completely overstaffed, right? So it's very, very possible for that room to function with just like maybe two or three people. So we had two staff in the room and a private duty nurse in the room for one of the children. So you kind of have someone else there to help with medical needs and with activities of like basic living stuff. But I guess for some reason the school thought that we needed more staff. So during the time when we had someone in our room out for a COVID concern and two other staff members quarantining themselves out of a COVID concern, they started rotating new staff into our classroom. A total of three different people were in and out of our classroom working with the kids who were potentially exposed. Like, what? Like, are you kidding me? I mean, I know we are a school for special needs kids, but I don't know. I don't even know. The decisions that are made, I can't wrap my head around it. Yeah, that's how you put the dam in pandemic, like by cycling a bunch of fucking people in and out of a room where you have a COVID concern. So essentially what should have happened in any other fucking world and any other fucking job is that there would be a COVID concern. The person would stay home and get tested and our room would be quarantining for a week, quarantining until further notice, or at least the staff would be. So the thing is that the schools don't want to upset parents right now, especially schools like mine do not want to upset parents because parents go back to the districts and the districts are the ones who approve our programs and to participate in funding us and all those things. So they could have still had the children come in if they wanted to, but you would think that at least the staff would be quarantined. Even if they didn't want to tell those two kids, hey, you need to stay home for 2 weeks, you would think the staff would be working from home at that time, but they weren't. So during our meeting about this, that's when they started asking me, like, if the kid had, the staff member had symptoms at the time and all that. And then I was telling my principal, I'm like, you guys need to let the teacher know immediately when this happens so we can use our auxiliary room and our main room could be deep cleaned, which I'm sure that never happened either. And yeah, it was just like a total mess. So still no word from the kid. And now here's the question. I mean, from the staff member, excuse me, when I say kid, I don't even think student. There's still no word from the staff member on whether he was positive or not. So what happens when we find out that he's positive? Because I just have a feeling that he is. I mean, I'm not, like, you know, a mind reader, but it just seems very, very likely because he was ill over the weekend while he was waiting for his test results. He did have a fever. All those things happened. And I can't – there was even more drama about that on the days that I was not there, that I called out sick. And I still ended up working from home, but it came out of my sick time, which is, like, just, of course that would happen because I can't work from home unless there is a positive case. But what happens if he becomes positive now? So the staff member was exposed to COVID and went home. Then we all continued to work together, or almost all of us continued to work together. Now it's been almost 2 weeks. Now what if he's positive? Are we supposed to quarantine for one day? And that's what I explained to my supervisor informally over the phone. I said, if I was a parent, I would be so pissed that you guys hid this from me, number one, and did not tell me that one of the staff members working hands-on with my special needs child was exposed to COVID so that we could decide what's right for us. Like, each family and each, you know, worker needs to be able to decide for themselves what is right for them in these types of cases. So they didn't tell the families, but now, like, the quarantine period is basically almost over already, and we still don't have an answer. So if he comes back positive, what are they going to say? Quarantine for one day? Quarantine for 2 days? We would have to, and then a parent would say, like, well, doesn't quarantine for 14 days? Why do I have to only quarantine my child for 2 days? And then they'd be like, oh, well, actually, we've known about this for 2 weeks. Like, what is happening? And my school is so concerned about closing, and stuff like this is going to be why we close. Because it's run by fucking people that, like, are not thinking clearly through these things. I don't understand what the problem is. We're talking about people's health. We're talking about special needs kids. This is a serious thing. And there's only two kids that come into my classroom for services. It's not like you'd be shutting down the whole school, which originally was what they told us. They said if anyone has test positive for COVID in any of the cohorts, that whole cohort, the whole school gets shut down for 2 days and that entire cohort quarantines. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I have to drink my drink. That's what they said originally. And now none of those things are happening. Now, someone could potentially have COVID. They could not assist them in getting a rapid test, not assist them in where to go, not keep up with the staff person, and the rest of us could just not know. So, So that happened. But in other news, I filmed some content today doing an unboxing for my friend Wade's shop, which is called Devilish Devices. He is a leather worker and he works with real leather as well as vegan leather, and he makes all kinds of accessories and cool things. So definitely check him out. But I filmed that today, and it's really funny. I had to film it like 4 different times. I kept having all these different tech issues, so it's really funny. So I'll post the video up so you guys can see it. And I'm going to keep some of the funny tech issues in there because they're just honestly like hysterical, because you have to just like keep trying and trying and trying. So that's what I did today, and then I wanted to come on here and re-record this because this is also a podcast that I wanted to get out that I lost. So yeah, so just I think that's pretty much all I have to say for today. I just want everyone to keep in mind that my school represents hundreds of schools, thousands of schools that are dealing with the same things. These schools are not following through on their protocols. They're not following through on the children's COVID assessments. The children are supposed to fill out, the parents are supposed to fill out COVID assessments every single week, and they get lost, and this one didn't fill it out, but they come to school anyway. Nothing is being done by the book here. And it's scary because it's a risk to all of our communities and, of course, our kids. So I wanted to point that out. Keep it in mind. Wear a mask when you go out. It's super easy, you guys. It really is. Just wear a mask when you're, like, in public around other people. You don't have to wear a mask in your car. You don't have to wear a mask in your bathtub. You don't have to wear a mask in your bed underneath your covers. You don't have to do any of those things. You only need to wear a mask when you are around people in a situation where you cannot socially distance. No one is immune to this virus. We all just saw President Trump tested positive for COVID. He's been in and out of the hospital. And that is someone with unlimited resources, arguably the most protected man in the United States, who you would think would be sure, certainly would not be exposed to this. But even he was. So hopefully that will give some people some insight onto how aggressive this virus is. And to just remember to put your health first and put your community's health first, because we need to get beyond this so we could really begin to move forward. I don't think there's ever going to be any going back to normal as what we knew it, but I think we can move forward and move beyond this, but it's going to take all of us coming together. So my heart goes out to anyone who has been struggling with pandemic, quarantine, anyone who has lost someone, who has not been able to say goodbye to someone that they loved. I'm so sorry that this is something that you're experiencing, and I'm so sorry that the world is not getting on the same page here. Well, I shouldn't even say the world. The United States is what I should say, because that's where we are, and that's where this shit isn't happening. So when people are getting upset about not wanting to wear a mask or not wanting to, you know, social distance, keep in mind that people are losing their loved ones, and it's the very, very least that you can do is to wear a mask and wash your hands and try to protect the people in your community. I saw Millie Bobby Brown, who I love, by the way, a while ago post, you know, I am self-isolating, quarantining for my grandmother, for my community, for this people. So you're not, it's not about you not being able to do the things you want to do. It's about making a very, very small sacrifice for the good of public health. Thank you guys so much for listening today. You guys can find me on Instagram at ThatBadTeacher. This has been episode 6 of the Faculty Lounge COVID Soup. You guys have a great day. Bye.